Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given.
In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Crucified for us and were
this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, have mercy.
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 Lord, have mercy. in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Until the Son of God 14, and chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 through 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
seventh lesson is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock and meadow. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who had heard it pondered, all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Mission and M20, and I thought, that's pretty cool. A ton of traffic goes by there every day, and how awesome is it that this depiction of our Savior's birth is right there for all to behold? But that little moment of gladness soon turned to sadness as I intently watched the drivers and passengers of each car drive by that nativity scene while we were stuck there at the red light. And not a single person even glanced at it. Not one. There must have been 20 cars that drove by it while we waited, and not a single person paid the least bit of attention to it. It kind of bummed me out. After the first few cars passed by without anyone looking, I started rooting for the drivers and passengers in the rest of the cars, hoping that someone would at least take a glance. Nothing. Everyone just drove right on by, as if the nativity scene wasn't even there. By the way, all of this took place in my mind. I'm sure Lisa's sitting there thinking, what in the world is he talking about? I didn't say anything to her. I was just kind of lost in the moment, letting this swim around in my goofy head for a little bit. Then the light turned green and we took off and life resumed. But that little incident on the corner of Mission and M20 has stuck with me the last few days. I don't want to make too much of it, and I certainly don't want to give the impression that I'm judging or condemning all the people who drove by without looking at that nativity scene. For all I know, they were all devout Christians. Plus, it's probably a good thing that all the drivers were keeping their eyes on the road and not looking over at the corner. And had I not been stopped there at that red light, I may have driven right by without looking too. But it just hit me as an object lesson and brought to mind that holy night 2018 or so years ago. The greatest event in human history up to that point took place, and the world went about its business as though nothing had happened. Here was God Himself, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, come down from heaven to assume our human flesh, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, a feeding trough, while the world slept unaware. Nobody knew, except Joseph, Mary, and a few shepherds working in the fields that night. Think about that. The most significant event in human history up to that point happened without any seeming significance at all. We like to glorify the whole scene in our minds, by the way, don't we? We like to glorify the scene not only in our minds, but as well as in our art and in our hymns. We like to picture the star beaming its bright light directly down upon the stable or cave where our Savior was born. And inside the stable, we like to see Joseph and Mary totally at peace, full of serenity, happy and smiling from ear to ear. And of course, we like to sing about the precious baby Jesus. No crying he makes. It's all very clean and peaceful and serene. It's almost magical. We even depict all of the animals neatly corralled around the manger in perfect obedience, as if they're gazing upon Jesus in adoration. I don't want to burst your bubble, but it was probably nothing like that at all. It was probably messy and smelly and painful and cold and dark and damp. And I know it was totally inconvenient. Joseph probably had to ward off the animals and keep them away from the manger, since Jesus was lying in the place from which they eat. Mary was probably wishing they had invented epidurals already, or that she at least had some Vicodin to take or something, lying there totally worn out and in pain. In other words, I doubt very much that when the shepherds arrived at the stable, they heard harps playing in the background with the accompaniment of angelic voices as they gazed upon a beautiful, magical scene of perfect peace and serenity, with Joseph, Mary, and Jesus all glowing before them in heavenly light. But again, whatever it was like in that stable, and I'm going with the latter description, on that holy night over 2,000 years ago, What strikes me the most is that nobody but a few knew that it was taking place. Nobody but the shepherds rushed over to the nativity scene to pay homage to their Savior. Everyone else just went about their lives as if nothing had happened. Well, of course they did, Pastor Messer. They didn't know. Joseph and Mary knew because they were eyewitnesses of his birth and had been clued in about the whole thing by the angel Gabriel ahead of time. And the shepherds knew because the angel told them and was joined with the heavenly host and sung before them that great glory in excelsis. The rest of the world simply didn't get the message. You can't blame them, Pastor, for not stopping their lives and rushing to the manger with the shepherds any more than you can blame the drivers and passengers for not looking at that nativity scene in Mount Pleasant the other day. You're not being fair. They didn't know what was happening. I know. You're right. It's not fair. They didn't know. But then I wonder, what's our excuse? Why do we live our lives in this dead and dying world as if nothing significant has happened? Why do we get so weighed down by the cares of this world and pay so little mind to the life of the world to come? Why do we work so hard to create the perfect Hallmark family Christmas, but give little effort, if any, to amending our sinful lives? Why do we spend so much time looking at and interacting with electronic screens, but so little time in prayer or the study of God's word? You're right about those people long ago. They had a good excuse. No one told them that their Savior was being born right there in that little town of Bethlehem. They didn't get the message. But we can't make that excuse. We've been told. We've all sat here or in other churches on Christmas Eves, year in and year out. We have heard this story. The great news of great joy has been announced to us. God has sent his messengers to declare it to us. So why do we live as though it hasn't been? Why do we so often rush by the nativity scene, paying it no attention? By the way, this is why I didn't say anything to Lisa the other day when these thoughts were dancing around in my head. She would have surely said something to me like, "Oh, quit getting your panties in a bunch, you old Scrooge." Maybe some of you would like to say something like that to me right now, too. But I'm really not trying to bah humbug your Christmas. I'm just trying to keep it real, as the kids say these days. Even now, dear friends, on this glorious night when we celebrate the holy nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, amidst all the beautiful lessons in which we hear about the story of our salvation and all the Christmas carols and hymns we love to sing, even now, it is good to take stock of our lives. I think we shy away from that for the same reason we like to glorify the scene in the manger on that holy night long ago. We don't like to see the mess and the stink and the pain and the cold, dark dampness of our sinful lives. We do our best to cover all that up and imagine it away. But it's there, and we know it. Our lives are not the Hallmark versions we'd like for them to be. And truth be told, we're not the Christians we should be. Repent. But take heart. For this is the very reason our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to come down from heaven and be incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, O sinners. This is why he lay in that feeding trough on that holy night long ago. He entered the mess and stink and pain and cold, dark dampness of this sinful world to save us from our messy, stinky, painful, cold, dark, damp, sinful lives. He came to fulfill the law we so often treat as meaningless, to live the perfect, sinless life we can't, and so often don't even try to live. He came to devote himself solely to his Father's will, to pray for we who don't make time for prayer, to worship for we who often just go through the motions or don't come to church much at all. He came to submit himself to his earthly parents for we who have not honored our parents as we ought. He came to turn the other cheek and feed the ungrateful, those who didn't deserve it, those people, and to love everyone perfectly for we who too often lash out in anger, hold grudges and gossip and worry more about ourselves than others. He came to be celibate and pure for we who are filled with lust and sexual immorality. He came to freely give all that he had for we who have stolen. He came to be perfectly content for we who so often covet and want more. He came to do all of that. But even more, he came to bear the punishment we deserve for our inability to do all of that and for our lack of willingness to even try. He came to suffer and die, to spill his perfect, holy, innocent blood for we who know all too well that we're guilty as sin. He came to do that which we often don't try to do, to live the life God has given us. And he also came to do that which we so often try to do, but never can. Hide our sins. Take them away. For he paid for them all, every last one of them, on the cross. Here is your Christmas miracle, dear friends. That baby in the manger grew up and willingly went to the cross and died for you, that you who believe in him would have your sins washed away by his blood and be wrapped in the swaddling cloths of his perfect holiness and righteousness. There is the true Hallmark special, the happy ending of which Hollywood could never conceive. There is no sappy sentimentality here, no lessons in morality, no secrets of success or neat and clean, perfectly decorated holiday scenes. There is only the mess of a man who smells of sweat and dried blood, suffering the pain of being hung upon a cross while the sun recedes and removes its warmth, giving way to the cold and darkness, and the naked body of Jesus is dampened by the blood that continues to pour out of his veins as he hangs there suffocating and dying for you. That's our salvation. It's messy, stinky, painful, cold, dark, and damp, which is exactly what we messy, stinky, painful, cold, dark, damp sinners need. In Jesus, we are neat. In Jesus, we are a sweet aroma to his Father and ours. In Jesus, our pain is taken away. In Jesus, we bask in the warmth of his light, which becomes ours when we are dampened with water in his word and holy baptism, and which remains ours when we receive his body and the dampness of his blood in the Holy Supper. That's our salvation. It's accomplished in full. It is finished. There is nothing to add to it or take away from it. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. It is finished. And it has been proclaimed and even delivered to us. So again, what is our excuse? Why do we continue to live as though this good news of great joy has not happened? Shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. Enough of that. Be Christians. love and serve God, pray, study His Word, come to the Bethlehem of His church, this house of bread, and be fed upon the sweet honey of His Word and the body and blood of Jesus, who is the bread of life. And then depart in peace, not to go revel in your sins or forget about the nativity or the crucifixion or the resurrection, but depart in peace to be kind to others. Help and serve whoever you can and whenever you can. Honor your parents, love your children, and bring them up in the way of the Lord. Put away your anger and lust and greed and selfishness. Quit having a defeatist attitude. Strive against your sin. Amend your ways. And above all, love one another, seeing each other as fellow sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified. None of that to be saved. That's done, finished, accomplished. But all of it because you are saved. Be Christians. That's who you are. Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
According to St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Festival of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Glory to God in the highest.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere.
Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And